Hi there, listeners. My name is Jonathan Daugherty, and I'm the host of the Pure Sex Radio broadcast. And before we start this week's broadcast, I just want to remind all you men out there who are listeners that we have an incredible workshop that's available for those of you who just need help in overcoming some of your secret sexual sins, whether it be pornography, affairs, strip clubs, even homosexual behaviors. We have a three-day workshop that is called Gateway to Freedom. It is a powerful workshop where you can connect with other men, that you can get the wisdom and insight of folks who have decades of experience in sexual addiction treatment, and you can finally find the hope that you need to be a different man. The next Gateway to Freedom workshop is coming up July 18th through the 20th in South Texas. Why don't you find out about our Gateway to Freedom workshop by simply going to our website, gatewaymen.com, or you can call our toll-free number at 1-800-49-PURITY to get more information about this powerful workshop. Again, that's gatewaymen.com or 1-800-49-PURITY.
Good day, radio listeners. It's time for Pure Sex Radio. This is the best in mobile talk radio. Listen to real-life struggles and learn how to overcome lust, pornography, and sex addiction. And get serious about purity. Your hosts are Jonathan Daugherty, director of Be Broken Ministries, and Steven Cervantes, founder of Hope Counseling Center. And now, please welcome Jonathan and Steven on Pure Sex Radio.
Good day, radio listeners. Welcome to this week's edition of the Pure Sex Radio broadcast. We're really glad to have you here with us. My name is Jonathan Daugherty, and I'm here with Steven Cervantes. Hey, Steven.
Hi, Jonathan.
You know, before we get started on this week's broadcast, I just wanted to make another reminder to you listeners that we are a listener-supported radio broadcast. And if you have been listening to us for a while or, you know, gaining some real insights and finding encouragement and education through our radio program, we would just like to invite you to consider donating to our ministry, supporting us in the work that we're doing. You can do that through our website at puresexradio.com. There's an easy little place right there on the homepage in which you can give, or by calling our toll-free number at our office, which is 1-800-49-PURITY. We just want to let you know that you have an opportunity to do that, and we'd ask you to pray and consider giving to this outreach. Well, we're going to dive into something here that I think is going to be encouraging, especially to our male listeners. But ladies, you're going to get something out of this as well. We really think in our ministry that Stephen and I are really about encouraging men. We're just men encouraging men. And so we want to be able to provide some insights and some comments that some men have said that we think are going to be very helpful to the guys out there who are listening. Just gaining some insight into what do men need to hear from other men on this journey to purity. So, Stephen, why don't you kick us off and kind of tell us where we're going to go this week?
Well, there are 10 comments we're going to discuss, and so they're just comments that men have made and have given us permission to make. And the goal is, as you said, men educating men. And allowing the women to peek into our dialogue and learn as we train the men. So here's comment number one. A gentleman said, in the past, if I ever got caught, there's one theme that I learned from getting caught. It was that I just got better at hiding. And I would hide my struggle and hide my sexuality, hide that part. I'd bury it deep within me so that if anybody got a glimpse the next time, they would never even get that small glimpse. I learned I got good at hiding, and I learned I got good at lying. And if I was honest, over time, I found myself sharing less and less with my wife.
Think about this, Stephen. Where does sexual addiction live? It lives in the dark, right?
Yes.
So in order for it to, because it can't live in the light. I mean, there's something about it that dies if it comes out into the light. And so for it to perpetuate, it has to be in the dark. And so this man is saying, in order for me, whenever even glimpses of it would come out, I realized if I'm going to keep this thing, if I'm going to keep holding on to this part of me that has become so enmeshed in my coping mechanisms and my thinking and all of that, then I have to learn how to hide better. I have to learn how to lie better. And it's almost like he's saying hiding, lying are skills.
Yes.
That I have to develop.
Addiction skills.
Exactly.
If you want to be a really good addict,
you got to hide and lie.
Yes. And let me just build on what you said, because I was thinking, he's telling us, I have to hide part of me. That's like shame, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I have to lie to you so you don't see any of it, and you think I'm normal. You think I'm okay. I have to deceive you. And then finally, I have to really ignore you, my wife, because I can't include you. The closer you get, the more you might see. So I have to talk to you less, share less and less. I have to virtually ignore you because I cannot include you.
Isn't it interesting how the deception of the addiction that deceives the husband into his acting out behaviors ultimately requires him to then deceive another? It's like,
yes,
deception passes even through him to his wife. It's like deception begets deception.
Yes, and then his wife has to live with this deception, right? We're married. We're supposed to be happily married. I don't exactly know where our marriage is.
Right.
We don't talk much. He doesn't tell me much. I am in the dark. And then you would say, as part of his deception.
Mm-hmm.
That's comment number one. Comment number two. When a man starts to talk about his hidden sexual struggle, it then impacts his wife. It forces her to start to look at her own difficult emotional issues. I have long since, this is me talking now, I've long since thought a man can't go home and say two things to his wife. Honey, I have a sexual struggle, or honey, I'm quitting my job.
Right, exactly. They induce panic.
That's exactly,
yeah,
right. And so we've talked before that we live in a culture where temptation is about and men struggle. But if you can't talk about it, then you either have to find a way to deal with it with other men or lie and deceive, like we were just talking about. And partly here is why men would lie and deceive, because your struggle exposed taps her at her deepest issue, because she starts to think about, oh my goodness, you have a struggle. And then she starts to flash back to other men that may have imposed themselves, forced themselves, touched her inappropriately. She starts to feel a sense of, am I inadequate? Why is this going on? And security comes up, and are we on a solid foundation, or is this a sandy foundation? She kind of starts like spinning on the inside. And ultimately, it's like shock. What are you saying to me? What does this mean if you start to tell me you have a sexual struggle?
And the challenge for that wife is she's going to want to, there's a temptation for her to make it all about him. You listen, this is all your junk. This is because there's a fear. I think there's a legitimate fear in a wife that when his junk comes to the surface, it does begin to stir things from her past and stir some of the issues in her life. And if she's unwilling to go there, then there can become an imbalance of, well, you go get fixed and our marriage will be fine. Well, just under the surface, there's these other issues that have been stirred in her. And she feels very unsafe, very unstable, and doesn't feel like he's safe enough to share those things with. And so she kind of feels trapped. Where do I go with all of my difficulties and emotional issues when this man has been deceiving me for however many years? How could I possibly share with him in this moment all the things that would put me in a vulnerable position? And so it's a very difficult place for a wife to be.
I think it is. This is an interesting discussion if you think about it, because we all want to believe we're totally honest with each other. But, you know, as I'm thinking here, I'm thinking, do we really tell anybody everything? Mm-hmm. Do we tell our wives everything? And there are things that I don't know. That thought just crossed my mind about 100% honesty, because I think if we have 100% honesty about every thought in your head, you tell every thought, she tells every thought, I think that's chaos meets chaos.
Right, right.
And this is a junior version of that, right?
Mm-hmm.
You've got some struggles and some history and some story. I got to tell you, I think he starts looking like chaos, then she starts spinning in chaos, and I don't know how that strikes you.
Well, I think it has to ultimately lead somewhere. You have to be, I think there always has to be a purpose to honesty and transparency. I don't think you can we're honest with our spouse simply for the sake of honesty. It has to move towards something. And I think since our marriages are called to oneness,
yes,
I think that has to be the purpose of it. If it doesn't fit into that purpose, then you are saying chaos meet chaos and it just spins out of control. So I and maybe that's for another radio broadcast to
right.
get into more
but
of that.
I do think this is a man has to confess.
Absolutely.
But I think it's difficult to confess. And
I think in that confession, I think a wife also has to find the courage to be honest as well.
It's funny because this quote pops in my head. I'm doomed if I tell her, and I'm doomed if I don't tell her.
Right.
Right? Because if I keep it a secret, it
just cleaned that up for radio, didn't you? Or for our radio program?
That's the way I heard it.
Okay, okay.
You must have heard it different than I did. But that's the dilemma, and that's why men try to be nice to wives and don't tell them.
Absolutely, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that's number two. Number three, I used to have this distorted thinking. And this guy was trying to explain this concept, and he said, this is what I've come to. No matter what stressful thing happened, no matter what went wrong, no matter what difficulty we were dealing with as a couple, in my mind, I always found a way to make myself the victim.
This is so classic addict. I mean, because an addict, until they really embrace brokenness, will always find a way to point it somewhere else. Mm. Place responsibility somewhere else. I'm going to place it on my wife because she's not always sexually available to me. I'm going to place it on my work because of all the stress. I'm going to place it even on my abusers in my past. I'm going to place it somewhere else so that I'm the victim. Because you know what? A victim is a victim. Does a victim have to claim responsibility for the decisions they make? No, because they're a victim, right? Somebody else is imposing this on them. They have no decision-making power in this. But the reality is you're not a victim.
Well, I was just thinking, you know, I think it's very powerful to be a victim, right? Victims need help. Victims have to do something. Victims can't just sit there and be victims, right? Don't you think there's power to do stupid things and calling yourself a victim versus if you are broken, you have to just hold and wait and own. But if there's an injustice and you've been wronged and you're a victim, well, sure, you get to go do the right thing.
I wouldn't call it power. I'd call it manipulation. There's control in being a victim because I can manipulate other people if I'm a victim. I can say, well, then therefore somebody else has to come rescue me. Somebody else has to come.
Right.
You have to basically mold around me because I'm the victim here. Mm-hmm. So there's manipulating power. I think there's controlling power.
Yeah, I'm glad you put them together because manipulators are powerful people. They have
right.
an opinion, idea. They tell you what to do. So manipulating power. So that's number three. Number four, and this plays right into that sense of things being difficult and what do I think? Because relationships offer comfort at times. And other times, relationships are stressful. And the question then is, what do you do under stress? And this gentleman said, you know, I get frustrated and I tell myself no one's taking care of me. And I start thinking I should not have to live like this. Then I need some distraction and comfort. and I need some excitement. So you know, how do you manage stress? He's saying, I don't think I've managed stress in my life very well, because when I get under pressure and stressed and frustrated, I end up doing stupid things.
Well, and a lot of this is generated from having developed a self-centered paradigm. In other words, things must revolve around me, meet my agenda, meet my demands. And so stress often doesn't do that. Stress is something that imposes on us. It creates an atmosphere that is tense. And so what we do is we're always going to kind of we're going to default to whatever our strongest paradigm is. And the sexual addiction ultimately puts us at the center where everything must revolve around me. And so he's illustrating the classic sexual addiction cycle here, that there's some temptation, then I'm going to go through some ritual, then I'm going to act out, and guess what? Then I'm going to be left with shame. It didn't relieve my stress, at least not for any, it actually added more stress to my life. Because now I've got another secret, another lie I've got to tell.
And, you know, we were talking earlier about addicts don't believe they have needs, and they don't deal with emotions very well. And stress is just a giant wad of emotions all crammed together. And so under stress, we need good emotional management skills. But addicts just use solution, or they just, you know, people that act out just want relief. They don't want to work through it.
And that's part of it, too. We have to recognize that stress or chaos, that is part of life. I think the other thing that happens in a sexual addiction, especially with pornography and things, is we begin to have this delusional fantasy thinking. That because pornography will begin to cause a person to think that that things must be perfect. Because no model in pornography looks as they do in real life. Mm-hmm. Everything's airbrushed and perfected and made, you know, and fancied up. And so there's subtly that perfection mentality starts getting into, I need to find the perfect visual stimulus. And so they keep looking through multiple, you know, pages and sites and all this kind of stuff. Perfect, perfect, perfect. I need perfect, perfect. And they never find it. So then they think that that should happen in their lives. I should have the perfect marriage, the perfect job, the perfect, you fill in the blank. And when that doesn't happen, that's stress.
Right. And really, it's real life, right?
Exactly.
That's what you're saying. Yeah. So a gentleman said, here is how I start to deceive myself. I start with this lie. My wife does not understand me. She just doesn't understand me. She doesn't get me. And because she doesn't understand me, then I've gone to the internet. And I found that in general, other women really understand me. And the women on the internet really understand me. And they are becoming my real friends. And I'm getting close to those women on the internet because they really understand me.
I find this almost tragically hilarious.
I didn't know whether to laugh or not either.
Because, okay, my wife doesn't understand me. How can she even know you if you've been lying to her about who you really are and what you're really doing? You know, it's almost like she doesn't understand me. Well, does she know you? Does she know what you're doing? Does she know how you're thinking?
And have
well,
you
of
been
course
working
not. Are you
back
kidding?
And forth?
You know,
yeah.
And the reply is, well, of course not. I'd never tell her that. I don't want. Well, how can she possibly understand you? And then there's the deception that these other women understand him. But you know what? They only are getting a part of him, right? They're getting the polished, cleaned up, you know, whatever presentation he wants to give.
And what
to
is
them.
He getting of them?
Same thing.
The support, encouragement, kindness, how bad your wife is, and I'm not like that. You know.
At least this guy recognized that it's a great lie.
Yes, I think that's helpful, because if you're sitting out there in radio land and you're telling yourself, "My wife doesn't understand me," and I can go, "Well, stop." Mm-hmm. Press into your wife. Press closer. Have more dialogue. You know, I've thought to myself, one of the ways to be known is to not stop talking. Keep working. Keep talking. Keep trying. Don't let the conversation stop. Because that's when things break down, and then you get to the point where you don't know each other. Mm-hmm. Number six, a gentleman said, "I'm so tired of carrying a head full of crap." I just thought
that's a very direct way to put it.
I don't think it needs any more.
Yeah.
I think it's just a bunch of trash and distortion. That's it. Number seven. In a fantasy world, you can have sex your way, however you want it, on your terms. But in the real world, you have to negotiate to have a good sex life with your wife.
Yeah, it's almost like in fantasy world, what communication does there need to be? Because it's a one-way street.
That's true.
In the real world, communication involves the spouse. It involves another person and feelings and thoughts and ideas. And so it's, you know, my wife, sometimes she'll ask, because we try to live honestly in front of our children. In other words, letting them know mom and dad don't have it all together. We have arguments. We have things we need to work through. And so Elaine, my wife, will ask our oldest daughter, who is seven, she'll say, "Haley, what's marriage like?" And Haley's response is always, "It's hard work."
And I like that word, negotiate. You do have to go back and forth with your wife. Is today a good day to be sexual? You know, should we do it at 7 or at 10? You know what I mean? Back and forth. Even when you get, you know, skin to skin, you still have to go back and forth. What do you like? Mm-hmm. So, but in fantasy world, you just get it your way. Number eight, the lie of porn is I'm not hurting anyone, and really I'm not cheating. I'm just looking at porn,
mm-hmm.
and that's a couple of basic lies of porn.
And those are so, it seems so subtle and so almost innocent, in when you say it like that, but the reality is it pulls away from the very foundation of what our sexuality was designed for, and that is intimacy within a marriage. And porn just absolutely takes a hammer to that foundation and begins to chip away at it.
Ooh, that's good. That's right. I like that metaphor of porn being the very hammer chipping away at the foundation of your marriage.
And that whole idea of I'm not really cheating, I mean, Jesus addressed that specifically when he said, you know, you've heard it said, don't commit adultery, but I say if you look on a woman to lust after her, you've already committed adultery. He used that same term, adultery, in your heart. So it is, it is an emotional affair is what it is. You are cheating emotionally and spiritually on your wife when you look at porn.
Number eight, I thought this was a great comment. He said, I'm divided spiritually. I feel such guilt and shame in my relationship with God, but he has blessed me and carried me and given me so much. And I am so divided. I love him, but I know that I don't know if I can talk to him, but he has done good things in my life, but I have failed him and I have guilt and shame from doing what I've done.
Well, this is the grace message through and through. I mean, the Bible even tells us that God does not treat us as our sins deserve. And that's the great message here is that, yeah, we've goofed up, and some of us in some pretty gross ways. But the amazing thing is that through Christ, God does not deal with us as our sins deserve. It's like, the way I look at it, Stephen, is that we have an opportunity. We have a choice. We can do things God's way, and a man reaps what he sows. We can sow seeds of righteousness and reap blessing and peace and a wholeness to our being. Or we can sow seeds of unrighteousness, impurity, sex, greed, you know, all these other things over here. I should say impure sex. And we'll reap the consequences of that in ourselves. But from God's perspective, he chooses to bless when he wants, how he wants, based on not on our merit, but on his good pleasure. And I love this guy's comment because it's almost like he's saying, in the midst of my shame and guilt, in the midst of when I felt like I deserved condemnation, God has poured out blessing. Don't ask me to explain that.
Yes.
It's just, we have a good God.
Number 10, I'm learning something about myself, and this is what I've realized. Whenever I find myself in a difficult emotional struggle, I have to be super guarded. I have to be very smart in those moments. And I thought, wow, that is great insight.
Well, this is almost like learning how to prepare for battle. you know, that learning how to recognize, okay, when I know that certain things emotionally are drifting or are weakened, it's especially then that I've got to have my battle plan together, that I've got to really, you know, rally the troops and make sure that I'm prepared for the temptations that are coming.
So in closing, I would say these are comments by brothers, for brothers, to build brothers. And why? Because we want to make great men who are great lovers and have great marriages. Now get to work, guys.
Absolutely. Thank you guys for being with us this week, and we'll see you back here again when we come at you again with the Pure Sex Radio broadcast.
Today's Purity Pointer, making a point that makes a difference. Brought to you by Pure Sex Radio.
Hide the word. Psalm 119:11 tells us, I have hidden your word in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Part of the goal of living a sexually pure life is to abstain from that which is sexually inappropriate. In other words, not sin. The psalmist shared a powerful secret for how we can accomplish this worthy goal, to hide God's word in our hearts. Feast on the word of God, digesting it deep into your soul, and over time, you will taste freedom from your sexual sin.
Purity Pointer is a service of Pure Sex Radio. Listen to more Purity Pointers at puresexradio.com.
Men, are you looking for a good place to start your journey towards purity? Then I want to recommend our 40 Days of Purity workbook. It is an outstanding resource that gives you daily insights and practical purity tips that you can use to become the man of purity that you want to be. We also want to give a 10% discount to all of our listeners. So if you will go to our online store at pureliferesources.com, and when you check out, use the coupon code RADIO. Again, that's www.pureliferesources.com, and use the coupon code RADIO to get your 10% discount on our 40 Days of Purity workbook.
Thanks for listening to today's broadcast. We want to hear from you. This broadcast is not possible without the prayers and financial contributions of listeners like you. Please send your notes and donations to Pure Sex Radio, 1800 Northeast Loop 410, Suite 415, San Antonio, Texas, 78217. Again, the mailing address is 1800 Northeast Loop 410, Suite 415, San Antonio, Texas, 78217. You may also reach us by phone toll-free at 1-800-49-PURITY. Our toll-free number again is 1-800-497-8748. Our website is a great resource for archived broadcasts, helpful resources, and secure donations. Simply visit www.puresexradio.com for more information. Well, that wraps up our time together on this week's Pure Sex Radio broadcast. We look forward to having you back next time when we again tackle real-life struggles with lust, porn, and sex addiction. Until then, remember, the price you pay today for purity is a bargain compared to the pain it costs if you put it off. Pure Sex Radio is paid for by Be Broken Ministries.